Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's start with the news before we actually get into a little bit of speculation. Oh, yeah. We'll have some of that for you today. Welcome, Damon and Ratto. It's good to have you here. Ray, I got to say, I've never seen curling-related swag before. You're wearing a curling sweatshirt. The curling show?
This must be
a staple on CBC. And given the fact that Jared Allen is trying out for the U.S. Olympic curling team, have some respect in your mouth for that.
That's fantastic. It's one of my favorite stupid things to watch every Olympics.
It's a sport you can play while drinking. That's it. You don't need any other explanation.
Bowling on ice. Do you like darts and pool, billiards? Do all that while drinking too?
Yeah, but that definitely affects your ability to perform the sport. I think if you're going to be outside curling and you're not drunk, that does affect your ability.
Who's outside curling? I mean, I need a rink.
Oh, there's outside curling.
I need a rink. You got like wind-aided curling statistics?
It's hard to get enough wind to blow a stone off calories.
Maybe. And way to go with stone. That is the correct terminology for the curling toss that is a stone.
I watch the curling show. That curling show.
Clearly you do. I'm guessing it's set on your DVR. The news today coming out of the Super Bowl. Well, it's really not Super Bowl news, but it is NFL news, and all NFL news originates from whatever city is hosting the Super Bowl during Super Bowl week. Brock Purdy is meeting with Dr. Keith Meister. Call him Meister. On February 21st, and he plans to have surgery to repair his torn UCL on the 22nd. The surgery is set to be done by the respected Texas Rangers team doctor. So, you know, elbows is his forte. And the expectation, Ray, and this is the most important thing, is that Purdy can make a full recovery and be ready for training camp, which would mean the hill that he is climbing to be this team's week one starter next year could very well continue, you know, but for the blip on the NFC title game. And an open competition between he and Trey Lance is probably the best and healthiest way to decide this whole damn thing anyways. And we got some Trey Lance sound from the Rich Eisen show to get into a little bit later on. So here we go. Wednesday of Super Bowl week, and Brock Purdy's finally got a little, I don't want to say conclusion, because we don't know what the conclusion is until we know what the recovery is, but we have an answer at the very least for his elbow problem.
We have a schedule for it. That's what we got. Because if they go in and they see more damage, then
Things change.
But for right now, that's what we know. We know he has to block out February 25th.
22nd.
22nd, I'm sorry.
Come on, pay attention, man. Quit thinking about the curling show.
I can't.
Did hard feelings play a role in Jimmy G's inactive status for the NFC title game? This is something that Tim Kawakami got into. Speaking of Tim Kawakami, he's going to be on the morning show tomorrow. Shanahan, when in his postseason press conference, dropped a definitive no about Jimmy's future. It did seem a little curt, considering all the two had gone through. It seemed a little pointed and decidedly mind made up on a subject, which, Ray, I think we both agreed he just learned, you know, the lesson in the previous year. There's no reason to talk about the end of a relationship in sports until it's actually over, because you never know when it might continue. And that very thing happened to the 49ers, obviously, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Anyways, Tim Kawakami said, you know, and this is a pretty astute thing to point out after the fact that John Lynch specifically didn't jump in with a more diplomatic response is maybe a little bit of a clue that there was something else wrong in Camelot, if you will. And then, you know, Tim goes on to say, you know, this is a guy who won 42 combined regular season and postseason games for the 49ers. He could have been a Super Bowl MVP had he made one or two more throws a few years ago. He was very popular in the locker room. He was liked by the team. And it wasn't wrong to expect something a little warmer from 49ers brass if this really is going to be how they're framing Garoppolo's exit. And apparently Tim poked around and there is a little something to a cooling off period, some sour graping in the last few weeks of the Shanahan-Garoppolo 49ers relationship. And that immediately makes me start thinking, well, I wonder if he could have played in the NFC title game but chose not to. Or basically decided the extra effort that would take is no longer worth my investment.
That seems counterintuitive, because the only thing that could happen if he made himself available for the conference final, if that's in fact how this happened, it could have only enhanced his marketability either within the team or within the rest of the league.
Right.
So that seems to be sort of spiting your nose to cut off your face.
And I'll also say this, that Kyle Shanahan could probably catch any important San Francisco 49er breaking into his own home. And if the player was required for the game plan on Sunday, that player still would play. Like, I don't see Kyle Shanahan spite scratching someone he thinks could help him win a game. And it's just, the whole thing is weird. I want to get into what Tim wrote. He said, the relationship between Garoppolo, Shanahan, and Lynch seemed to have gone a bit south in the days and weeks leading up to the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia. I don't know if there was a specific blow-up or conversation that led to this. I don't know what the main issue was. We know that Garoppolo won a lot of games in his last six seasons with the 49ers and partially bailed them out this season by agreeing to come back after believing he was going to get traded or cut last offseason. Shanahan and Lynch decided to keep Garoppolo on the active roster all through December and January after his injury, hoping, believing that he could come back from his foot injury at some point during the playoffs to provide an insurance should Purdy get injured. They could have used that roster spot for somebody else, maybe a defensive tackle like Hassan Ridgeway, but Shanahan and Lynch saved it for Garoppolo, who tried and couldn't get healthy enough to be Purdy's backup in the conference title game. All of that on its surface sounds straight up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wonder if there wasn't a little something. Because Garoppolo germs seemed to be, you know, in a smiley, walking around the sideline, not dressed for today type of mood. And I'm not saying he was enjoying the win, but Jimmy must have some element of human being in him. And I don't want to say schadenfreude is what you feel in real time, but I mean, for a guy who was replaced because he got injured and then injured and then injured again, to reach the point of, well, yeah, I could come back in, or you can now go forward with your brand new, you know, plaything and toy that you drafted in Brock Purdy, who you sort of fell into after trying to replace me by moving a ton of draft picks for the other guy who got hurt. Like, there must have been some sort of, this is sort of delicious, this is happening, if Jimmy were that sort of a spiteful, evil guy.
Yeah, and I have not seen any evidence of that in the past, and I don't believe that he would be stupid enough to be laughing on the sideline while they were getting their hats blocked. So I think that's a smile out of context to me. I think it might just be that Shanahan was pissed that he had to play Josh Johnson and that he's going to take it out on somebody. And Garoppolo seems handy. seems short-sighted, because if they go into Purdy's arm and they find more damage, you know, what would prevent them from going back to Garoppolo one more time and say, will you start for us again? I mean, it's just, you know, he opened the door a year ago when everybody thought this was done. So, I don't know. It does seem... It seems like Shanahan was unhappy with the circumstances and got no indication that Garoppolo is going to be coming back next year anyway, because, you know, at some point maybe they had the conversation about 2023 and Shanahan gave Garoppolo a, well, it's probably going to be Purdy, because this is before he got hurt. So,
you know, you said that Jimmy had nothing but a possibility to enhance whatever his legend would be if he were thrown into the NFC title game as an emergency. But at the same time, what if he then got hurt? You know, well, he's got a business decision to make as well, and thinking that, you know, what would I rather be available for one more game for the 49ers and then have my chances of being a team player somewhere else go up in smoke because of an injury that kept me out a year? Or am I just going to say, well, you know, we'll wait till the next situation? I don't know.
Like, it doesn't, that doesn't seem likely to me. Doesn't mean it isn't true. But it seems like he would be willing to take that chance.
It is
more likely than he would go, nah, I need to be careful. Because if the word got out that he skipped a chance to play,
right, sandbagged it,
you have a lot of potential buyers going, oh, I'm not sure I like this so much.
He's also a really bad game against the Eagles away from having people maybe say the same thing. So again, if it was just, hey, his ankle wasn't ready to go and that's that, and his foot hadn't healed, then there's really nothing to talk about here. But the way that it ended, but the way that it ended in that press conference was a little strange. Tim highlighted how strange it was. He poked around and found out that there's a little something to it being strange. And, you know, like I said, a little speculation goes far in sports talk radio, so there is yours for today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.